Today, we'll have a Q&A with a Disney travel agent. That's coming up on this episode 35 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the host of this podcast, clearly, and the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here. I am so happy. And if you are listening to this on the day that it goes live, happy Easter. I can't believe that this is episode 35. And that seems like such a big number to me. It only started like 7 or 8 months ago. So thank you for that. And as usual, I want to do the quick reminders about also connecting with me on Pinterest and Facebook, and iTunes ratings are always appreciated. I haven't been reading those as much on the last couple of episodes just because it starts to feel a little egotistical because they are so nice. But just know that I do read them all and I do save them. And sometimes when there's a bad day, those are nice pick-me-ups. And so I appreciate those ratings. I do want to say that there are some long-time podcasts that have a number of ratings and reviews, and if they're not careful, we're going to catch up to them. So I appreciate all the effort that you all have been putting out there in iTunes, and it has really helped the podcast to grow in listenership, and I appreciate it. Today I have an interview with a travel agent named Cheryl Corin, and she is the agent that I do recommend through the site. And anytime somebody asks me if people want to use other agents, that's fine. But if you're looking for a recommendation, she's the one that I will recommend. And I just wanted to give a little background on how we kind of got connected, just to give you an idea before we talk to her. You know, she's not just someone that has an ad in the sidebar of the website. It's more than that. Anytime somebody has a website, you know, a Disney World website, there are going to be plenty of travel agents that want to work with you. And I really took a long time to decide on one that I was going to recommend. And I had a pretty strict criteria in that I really wanted somebody with a great reputation. I wanted somebody who was very professional in their correspondence, who had prompt responses, who was very collaborative so that we could go back and forth and bounce ideas off each other and really be more of a team. And Cheryl is that person and has been for a while. We are not just people that, you know, refer, you know, people to each other's websites or businesses. We have regular conference calls every couple of weeks. And when I was there in Orlando a couple weeks ago, we met in person. We talk almost every single day by text, by Facebook, by email, etc. So this is a real team effort here. And so I can definitely wholeheartedly recommend her as a great agent. And I get lots of great feedback. And if there are any issues with people that need help or, you know, are having trouble finding something, we work together to solve that. There is a person named Andrew who recently went on his first trip, and he used Cheryl as his agent and he used the WDW Prep School site for research, and he made a video of his trip, and I will put it in the show, I'll embed it in the show notes so that you can watch it. But he not only had a great trip, like if he had written his trip report up and we had read it, it would have been amazing, but he's great at video editing, and he took a GoPro camera attached to a pole so that he could hold it out further in front of him on rides. And so there's lots of good ride footage. He went to lots of character meals. It was just a touching, touching video. And a lot of people, when I posted the video on the Facebook page, were surprised that he was a first timer because of how much he got done. And I think the bottom line is a good agent that can help you plan all those things and research on a site like my site is really all you need to have a great trip. And he did. And thankfully it's captured on video, and I'll embed it if you want to watch it. But it's one of the best videos that I've ever seen about a Disney World trip. And it just so happens that he used Cheryl and I for the planning. So that was really nice. And, you know, that's exactly why she and I do it in the first place. So I'm going to go ahead and play the interview with Cheryl. And in this interview, she talks about what it's like to work with an agent, why somebody would want to use an agent, who she recommends to use the Disney Dining Plan. And in the last few minutes, I ask her for some of her favorites at Disney World. And don't forget that at the end, I will have my quick tip of the day. And here's Cheryl. And today we're talking to Cheryl Corin from Keys to the World Travel, who happens to be my favorite travel agent. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. And just to give a little overview of who you are and what you do, I know that you just recently moved to Orlando with your husband and son. Could you give a little background information about how you got into being a Disney agent?
Oh, sure. Well, like you said, I just moved down to Florida, but I was living up in New Jersey before, and I kind of have a varied background that has nothing to do with travel other than loving it and doing a lot of planning for myself and planning for other people, which kind of just led me into doing this for a living. So I work for a company called Key to the World Travel, and I also have a blog called Magical Memory Maker, where people can find me on either one of those places, and I book mostly Disney, but I kind of branch off from there as well.
And I do have some questions about where you can branch off. So I think I'll dive into that in just a second. But Why would somebody want to book with an agent as opposed to just doing everything on their own?
Well, there's a couple different types of people I like to say who get in contact with me. One is people who have no idea that what they can possibly do at Disney other than they know that, well, my kids, I should take them to Disney. And so they're kind of starting from scratch. And then you get everyone from there up to people who are very seasoned travelers, know exactly what they want, but they don't want to be the ones to have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and do all of those extra bookings and keep an eye on all of the different specials that are coming out. They just would like, they know what they want, but they don't have the time or the energy or the interest in actually putting it all together for themselves, but they know exactly what they want. So it kind of runs the gamut between those two. So with me, I help them in, you know, whatever capacity that they need. So for the most part, for people who have never been before, it's a lot of education about everything that Disney has to offer, great times of year to go, great places to stay. I kind of listen to what it is that they want, what they want to get out of a vacation, where they normally vacation, to give me an idea of where to start with things, and then we add on from there. For the clients who have been to Disney before or have done a great deal of research and know what they want, it's a little bit different because it's not that whole education portion of it, but it's more fine-tuning the plans that they've already put together. We come up with, you know, we make the reservation and then I watch the reservation and I know when specials would be coming out. And so I just get those specials applied. And then I send them the best emails which say, hey, guess what? Remember that trip that you booked? You just saved X amount of money. That's probably one of the best emails that I send out all year to my clients. So, and then from there, I also do all of their planning in terms of making their dining reservations. So I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning on the 180th day and making those reservations for them. And then they get an email when they wake up in the morning that everything again is taken care of for them. So that's one good reason to book with an agent rather than doing on their own.
So yeah, like convenience is a big part of it, whether you're a first timer or multi timer. You know,
exactly.
I always think it's ironic that one of the best emails that you get to send is, hey, I saved you money, but it also takes you an incredible amount of time for your clients because you have to be on the phone all day on, when big promote, but it also reduces your overall commissions that you make because that's how you get paid is commissions from Disney. Doesn't cost, individuals any more money, but Disney pays you a commission, but your commission goes down when the overall package total goes down. But that's just part of being a good agent is that you're always looking out for the best interests of the client. So
exactly.
No, I always find it ironic, but I know that you're looking out for their business in spite of the reduced commission. So when this podcast is going live in April 2014, we've got people that are already thinking about 2015. So how far in advance can you book trips?
You can book a room-only reservation 499 days before you go. However, that would be at the rack rate for that time period. You cannot add dining or tickets on until the package rates are released for the following year. And usually when that happens is sometime over the summer going in, it's before the 6 months, usually May, June timeframe, people start getting nervous because they want to book a trip and they have, the 180-day mark is coming up and they haven't added dining to their package yet. So Disney's very well aware of that and make sure that they have those out. But if you booked a room under the room only rate at the 499 days, when the package is released, you actually have to cancel that reservation and do a new one because Disney's systems don't allow you to just transfer the room only over to the package. You won't lose your room, you have the room reserved, but it's actually a cancellation and a rebooking of that package. And you get a whole new reservation number. Your deposit is different because on a room only, it's a one-night deposit based on where you're staying. For a package, it's $200. So that other money actually gets refunded to you and another $200 gets billed to you.
Right. Okay. But that 499 days in advance is not something people can go online and do themselves, but they can
No.
do it through an agent. And if they
You can
want.
also call in yourself and do that too. It doesn't have to be just through an agent, but you cannot do that online.
Okay. And so how far in advance do you recommend people book? Because I always say, more than 6 months so that you can get that, 180 day mark. But
Right.
do you have any other like guidelines other than that, or is that a pretty solid recommendation?
I would say 6 to 7 months. 7 months is probably good because then you know you have the spot that you want, and you have time to work out. The schedule for is going to come out for 6 months in advance. You know what your days are going to be in the parks, and then you can work on your dining. So anytime between 6 and 7 months, I think is the ideal time. The only exception to that is if if you're getting married at Disney World and you know that, you want to have that room, there's a reason that you need to be there 499 days in advance and you're planning that far, definitely do it. But or if, for Y2K, obviously people were booking the second 499 days came up.
Now, when people book through an agent, what is the requirement when the trip is booked? It's just a deposit, right?
Correct. It's the same $200 deposit that if you book directly with Disney yourself, it's that deposit. There's no additional money or anything. The money goes directly to Disney. It doesn't actually come to the agency at all.
Now, if so, initially there's the deposit, and then so I always like to call Disney trips like a layaway plan because you can make payments as you go. So with an agent, do people go through you or through Disney to then make their payments on their trip?
They go through me. Everything then comes through me.
Okay.
So you can either, if it's the same card that you used initially, people just email me and say, I want to put $350 down today. And I get that process and I send them the confirmation that it's been paid. Or some people wait until, 8 o'clock at night on that 45 days before check-in because they want to hold on to their money till then. And that's completely fine too. It kind of really just depends on how you're budgeting your trip and how you want to do that.
Yes, I would not be one of those people waiting till 45 day. I like to make payments. It just seems so much more manageable when you have it in sort of chunks like that.
Yes.
Okay, so when people are booking packages and they're trying to decide if they want to add the Disney Dining Plan, now a greedy agent would always recommend it because it increases their commission. But
Correct.
you and I both know that it doesn't make sense for everybody. So who do you normally recommend books the Disney Dining Plan?
I ask people how they would normally eat while they're at Disney World. So if they would normally eat the set number of meals that come with the Disney plan, and they would normally eat an entree and a drink and a dessert or a full buffet, then that seems like a good plan for them. Or people that want to have things budgeted in advance and that they know that I've already paid for this, so I don't feel bad eating this way. But if people say, well, you know what, my kids barely eat anything. They're probably going to share a kid's meal. I'll probably eat a kid's meal oftentimes. Maybe we'll do one or two sit downs. I tell them that the dining plan is not for them. And it makes no sense for them to pay for something that they're not going to use.
Yes, or yeah, if it's too much food, and yeah, exactly. And if they're not going to eat
Exactly.
at places that aren't good values on the Disney Dining Plan, it doesn't
Exactly.
make sense either. But if you're doing lots of character meals, buffets, that kind of stuff, it probably
Then it makes
makes.
perfect sense.
Yeah. And we actually, sometimes it makes sense for us and sometimes it doesn't. When my husband and daughter are on trips, it makes sense because he gets anxious about money. So the fact that it's all paid, it makes him, have more fun because he's not worried about it. And my daughter gets anxious about ordering food that costs too much money. So if everything is a credit, then she doesn't have to really think about it. But when my son and I go alone, we just pay out of pocket. So it, you know, I think different situations require different things. And so it may or may not make sense for people who are, you know, trying to plan their trip.
Exactly.
So, how do logistics work? We kind of talked about this a little bit when it comes to payments. How do logistics work when using an agent? Because there are, you know, Disney's making it more complicated now because there's magic bands, there's magical express luggage tech, there's fast pass pluses. How do you get those things to people or how do you arrange those?
Well, the magic bands are mailed directly from Disney to the client. I never see the magic bands. I do 99% of the time order the magic bands for people through their My Disney Experience account, but the magic bands themselves are mailed directly to the client. As far as the Magical Express luggage tags, your tickets, all that other kind of paperwork, that gets sent from Disney to the Key to the World Travel Central Office, and then it gets to me. I then add in, I have tip documents, I add in maps, I add in, you know, any kind of other things, because some people go to Universal, some people go to SeaWorld, there's other kind of travel documents that need to all go together. I sometimes, well, usually include a little gift for people, and anything that I think will help them specifically if they're going at Food and Wine, I include information on Food and Wine. If they're going to a party, I include specific information about parties. I include some, you know, whatever I think that would be best. I put that all together in a package and then I send that out to the client. And they get that usually about 1 to 2 weeks, depending on how fast Disney is getting the stuff to me. Then I get it directly out to them, but they get that before they travel. And then, so that's that kind of documentation. That includes luggage tags from Magical Express. It's all right in there. And then as far as making ADRs and FastPass Plus reservations, that's all done through My Disney Experience, but not, like I said, 99% of the time I'm doing that through the client's My Disney Experience account. And so, then for fast passes, when the 60 days comes up, I send out something to the clients and I say, okay, we can make these. I can do them for them. You can do them. We can do them together. Here are my recommendations. Let me know how you want to handle it. Because some clients are like, just tell me where I'm supposed to go and I will do that and it'll be wonderful. And other clients are like, I need to be hands-on and do all of this. And both ways are perfectly fine. But either way, I make sure that the clients know how to use that. So when they get to Disney and they need to make a change, that they can do it on the fly. So there's always an education piece to it as well.
Yes, of course. And it's, you know, Disney's getting more overwhelming, especially with FastPass Plus. So it's nice to have somebody that you can sort of have help you like you. So that's a good service for them.
Thank you.
You mentioned, you know, SeaWorld and some of these other places in Orlando. So if somebody comes to you and says, I'd like to go to Orlando, I'd like to do Disney, but I'd also like to do Universal, SeaWorld, et cetera. Are you're able to book those as well?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, what I assume that you focus mostly in Orlando, correct?
I do. 99% of my clients are trips to Orlando, whether it's specifically Disney or, you know, Disney component with someplace else, or even just directly to Universal. I have several of those as well. But I can also book trips anywhere in the world. That's just not my specialty, but I've done trips to Europe. I've done trips other places. I've done other cruises. I definitely do Disney cruises. So it's definitely, I'm full service, but my focus is on Disney and on the Orlando area. Anything Disney. So that includes Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Aulani, even Adventures by Disney.
So if you are helping someone book a trip that includes a couple different destinations in the Orlando area, are you helping them also coordinate like how to get between them? Because a lot of people will ask me questions like that. Like, how do I get from point A to point B, like Disney to Universal?
Yes. Well, I talk to the clients and see, you know, oftentimes they're driving, so they'll have their own car. So that makes it much easier because then they just drive from one resort to the other. There are also ticket options through Universal that include transportation. They'll actually pick you up at the Disney resorts and bring you over to Universal and bring you back. Or, you know, I can arrange driving or even just give recommendations on a cab. So it really is, it's unique to whatever that specific client's needs are, but I can help them out with any of that.
Well, that I think that's super handy because I know when we started sort of adding on things to Disney, it sort of, although I knew about Disney World itself, I wasn't quite sure how to manage everything else. And so, you know, it's nice to have somebody that kind of knows the ins and outs and can assist with the logistics of that.
And then I have other clients who like to do a split stay. So they'll do all their Disney stuff and then they'll go and they'll stay at Universal to kind of take advantage of some of the early morning and the express passes that you get from Universal by staying on site without having to, like, you're kind of paying extra because you're already staying there. So they give you that as well. And especially with the new Harry Potter stuff coming out, I'm getting more and more people who are interested in going over there as well.
Right. All right. So I've learned some things today. So that's helpful. But before we wrap up, I'm curious about some of your favorite things. So favorite Disney World theme park?
Magic Kingdom.
It's a classic.
I know.
I have
There's something about seeing the castle and just stepping on a Main Street with that popcorn smell. You can't beat it. I don't even need to go on a single ride. I can just hang out on Main Street and be happy.
I get the most sort of, you know, teary eye going in and out of Magic Kingdom, but I always loved Epcot from the time I was a kid, just because I'm sort of geeky like that. And it appealed to me for that reason. And then Animal Kingdom has a soft spot. I think it's just a beautiful park. So I don't know. I'm not being very decisive in mentioning three parks, but, you know, there's good things about all the parks. Favorite Disney World resort?
Beach Club.
Mine too.
Yay.
Yeah, if you were here, I'd give you a fist bump. No, that's my favorite resort too. Although one of the reasons that we are not DVC owners is because I want to stay at resorts at all level and not just, you know, the DVC resorts. But Beach Club's my favorite. But there are good resorts. You know, Art of Animation's great. Port Orleans Riverside is great. There's a lot of great resorts.
Oh, there's definitely is. It's not like I would only stay there. And I mean, technically, I only live a half hour from the gates of Magic Kingdom. So it's kind of hard for me to justify staying overnight too often, but I will be staying at Beach Club in October, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice. Yeah, that's my favorite for sure. And favorite Disney World ride?
Cali River Rapids.
Really? Oh my gosh. You know what? You and I might be the only people in the world. It's on my list of my top 10 favorite attractions at Disney World, and I'll put a link to that post in the show notes. But I love it. And almost everyone disagrees with me.
I love it.
That is so funny. I really like it too. Expedition Everest is my favorite ride though.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Overall, but they're right next to each other. So you could do both. And then last question. I have a couple questions. favorite restaurant at Disney World?
La Cellier.
Oh yeah. Like that one too. do you like the cheese soup and the pretzel bread?
I do, and I like the – I can't ever say it because I don't speak French, but basically the cheese fries with the truffle sauce on top and the – everything I've ever had at that restaurant has been amazingly delicious.
Yes.
So you can't really go wrong there.
Yeah, I like it. I think that on the dining plan, because it's 2 credits now, that some people might shy away, especially for lunch, because it's gone a little bit more expensive with credits. We have a trip planned in October as well, and it's our friends that we're taking, and I wanted to do my favorite things with them, and one of them is La Cellier. So I'm excited about that.
We have tables in Wonderland, so we kind of can take advantage of getting a little bit of a discount without being on a dining plan. So
yeah. Nice. And then your favorite place to go in Orlando outside of Disney World?
Wow. Okay.
Well,
the other thing just popped into my head automatically. This I don't have to think about a little bit. You mean another theme park, another restaurant?
Like another thing that if someone were adding on to their trip, that would be like Legoland or Universal or SeaWorld, or because we do like Universal. I mean, it's not something I want to do all the time, but I think it's every once in a while it's a fun thing to do.
I think every once in a while it's a fun thing. I'm really looking forward to the new Harry Potter section because I'm a Harry Potter geek as well. So I would say probably Universal. If I had to pick a restaurant, I would say Margaritaville. I really like that.
Yeah.
Over in City Walk. That is fun. I've been to SeaWorld and I like SeaWorld. I have not had an opportunity to go to Legoland. We're going there later on this spring. So I'll have to get back to you about that one.
Yeah, let me know, because I think the target audience for that is often littler kids, and I don't have kids that age, but you do.
I do,
So
yes.
I'll be curious to hear your thoughts. Well, I appreciate it, and I'm glad we got a chance to talk today. And before we head out, you are on magicalmemorymaker.com,
Yes.
and that's the best way to reach you, I think, right?
That is the best way to reach me, or I'm also on Facebook, and it's also under Magical Memory Maker with Facebook as well.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining me today, Cheryl.
Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Cheryl. I just completely adore her, and I hope that you did as well. Before we wrap it up today, I did want to share my quick tip of the day, and this is for people who might be control freaks who don't want to hand over the controls to a Disney travel agent. And this is for people staying on site who will plan to make reservations 180 days in advance. And the tip is that when you get online at 6 a.m. Eastern time to start making your reservations, you need to log in fresh on the Disney World website, the MyDisneyExperience.com website, because if your login is not fresh, then it's not going to pick up your hotel reservation and allow you to make reservations for your whole trip. It's only going to let you make reservations 180 days from now. So go ahead and just hit the log out button, log back in fresh, and then the dates for your entire trip should show up and allow you to book dining for the duration of your stay. I think that is going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For all the show notes and information mentioned in this show, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode 35. That is the number 35. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.